Rivka is currently in her second year of GPATS, and she in the past was a Beit Midrash fellow at SAR High School, where she taught Talmud and Tanakh. She hails from Teaneck, and she attended Mayanot, and then Migdal Oz, and then Stern College. She now lives in Washington Heights with her husband, Shalom. And this year, she is actually interning at the Young Israel of Scarsdale, and they are the campus couple at YU, so she's a very busy lady, and we're really happy you made time to come to the Young Israel of Jamaica States and give us a shiur.
A lot to be allowed to come back a second time. It was a pleasure last time, and I look forward to learning with you tonight. One of my absolute favorite topics is Chazal's sort of ambivalence. Indeed, not just Chazal's, but the Torah's ambivalence towards Matan Torah. What do I mean? Matan Torah should be the most important day in Jewish history, and yet the Torah purposely obscures the date. Is it Zion or Hay or Asar Zion, but really it's Chet? The date of Matan Torah, of when we keep Shavuos, and then also the place, Har Sinai, that's the pinnacle of the birth of the Jewish nation. We received the Torah. It seems like Jews go everywhere and they try to find every historic spot. From our history, we have Jews going to Kivrei Tzadikim left and right. You know, I was even thinking on the way here, like every other day we find out where Noah's Ark was. So many things from Bible we try to figure out. And we even had the Sinai Desert in our possession for a bunch of time after the Six-Day War, before the Begin in 76, the Begin deal. So we could have, you know, looked around for Har Sinai, but we never did that. No one ever takes a pilgrimage there. So Har Sinai should be this really important place, but it's not. And it's also clear that the Torah has a very skeptical view towards artificial highs. And these artificial highs, they always result in a hangover of some sort. What do I mean? We have Matan Torah, and right after that we have Chet HaEgel. We had Kriyat Yamsuf a little bit before Matan Torah, and right after that we had Mei Meriva. Even we had the Ananei HaKavod, and we felt so secure from the Ananei HaKavod that led to Chet HaMeraglim. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to leave the comfort of the desert. Even Hanukkah, which we just had, the Chashmonaim, after this amazing war of Hanukkah that we won, became really corrupt and bad after the Hanukkah story. So the simple answer to reconcile all of this is that we must perceive Torah as being mechadesh b'chol yom tamid, right? That every day there's something new, and us as Jews, we must always invest in that. What I was less aware of, though, was this skepticism towards Matan Torah, towards the Matan Torah experience. It's not just a Matan Torah thing, but it seeps into halacha as well, and that's the topic of tonight's shiur. Let's look at source 1 in the Torah. It talks about, this is the first siman of the whole Torah, and it talks about when a Jew wakes up in the morning, what are you supposed to do? It talks about, you wake up, you wash Nigel Vasa right away, and then we read, it says, V'tov lomar parshat ha'akedah u'parshat ha'man v'asar ha'dibros. And it's really good if you say the Akedah Yitzchak, and the Parsha of the Man, and you read the Asaras HaDibros. Now, does anyone do this? Do you guys? So these things are in the Siddur, but it's not. And there are some, right, the Akedah is, right, in the Karbano section, and there are even some Siddurim that after, right, that at the after the Shir Shal Yom, we have, you know, a bunch of these Parshiot. But we don't have, but this is the Torah speaking, and this doesn't seem like it has traveled with us to our daily practices. So why is that? And then we look at source 2, the Shu'at HaRashba. He asks, Sha'altem od mahu lomar aseret hadibrot b'shachrit b'beis haKnesses. So what's this deal? Should we be saying Shacharis in Shul in the morning? Should we be saying Asar Hadibrot in Shul in the morning? Lefishi Yeshan Hashem Rotzim Lanhig Tzibor Kein. There are people who, they want their congregation to do this. Ra'oy La'asot Kein Im Lav. So are we supposed to do this or not? And then he tells us, Tshuva Asor La'asot Kein. No, we're not allowed to do this. And then he goes on to explain, even though we have a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid that's quoted in the Gemara and Brachos in Source 3. So I'm going to read that Source 3 along with you, which says, Tanan Hasam. We have a Braisa in Maseches Tamid. Amar Lahem Hamemona. The Skan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol, is explaining what the practice was in terms of Kriyat Shema and their tefillah in the Beis HaMikdash in those days. So it says, Berchu bracha achat. First you make one bracha, behem berchu, and they should make a bracha. The Kuru Aseret Hadibrot. And then you read that Ten Commandments, Shema, Vahayaim Shamoa, Bayomer. You read that Aseret HaDibros right after you say Birchot Kriya Shema, the bracha of Kriya Shema before, and then Vayam Shemoa, etc., Vayomer, Berchu, Etaam, Shalosh Brachot, Emet Beyativ, Avodah, Birkat Kohanim. So this was kind of a condensed version of the tefillah that we have today. That's what they would do in the Beis HaMikdash. They would read what we have, the Avodah section, and then Birchas Kohanim, Uba Shabbat, Mosif Bracha Achat, Lemishmar HaYotzei, and then on Shabbos, that's when the Kohanim would switch shifts. So they would make a bracha for the shift that was leaving. And then we're going to skip to Yud Bet Amud Aleph, just right after the three dots. Marav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Af Begvulin Bikshu Lekrot Kein. That even outside the Beit HaMikdash, other people wanted to read like that. Also, they also wanted to do this same order. Ella Shekavar Bat, and sorry, if we look at Source 4, Bikshu, Rashi there explains, Likvoa Aseret HaDibrot B'Kriya Shema, that everyone around the Jewish nation, they also were like, we also want to put the Ten Commandments in there right before Shema. And then the Gemara continues, Ella Shekavar Batlum Mipnei Tar'omes Haminin. But that was already Batel. They were not allowed to do that practice anymore because of Tar Omes Haminin. I'm not going to translate that right now. Okay, and then Tani Nami Hachi, we have another Tanaitic source, Rabbi Natan Omer, Bigvulin Birkshu Lekrokein. Again, that the people around Israel, they wanted to do this, they wanted to read like this, they wanted to put the Aseret HaDibrot in, Ela Shekavar Batlum Mivnei Tar Omet Haminim. Rabba, but they were mevatel it. And then again, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Savar Lemikav Inhu Besura. Rabba Bar Bar Chana really wanted to institute this practice of putting the Aseret HaDibrot in. He wanted to do it in Sura. Amar Le Rav Chista, but Rav Chista answered, Kavar Batzlu Mivnei Tar Omer Haminim. Nope, we've gotten rid of that practice. All right, so based on the Gemara and Brachot, it seems that that's why the Rashba Aser is saying the Aseret HaDibrot. It seems pretty clear in this Gemara, in Brachos, that they were not allowed to say the Aseret HaDibros because of Taromes Haminim. So then let's go back to Source 1. How is it possible that the Torah, in the first Siman of all of his whole work, he's disagreeing with our Gemara? Why do you guys think that is possible? So I think that the Torah reads this Gemara to say that the risk of Taromes Haminim is included in the Aseret HaDibros, is in including the Aseret HaDibros as part of Kriya Shema. It's not just saying Aseret HaDibros when, as part of our Hanhagas HaBoker, you know, having it at the end, let's say at the end of our Shir Shal Yom. The Torah is saying that you could do it just he knows about this Gemara, just that Gemara is only saying that they were mevatel doing it as part of the Kriya Shema practice. The Rashba, however, he has a broader reading, and he believes that this risk of Taromes Haminim is not accurate, and that any recitation or emphasis of Aseres HaDibros could open the door to Taromet Haminim. Now, the Beis Yosef on the Tor seems to take a middle position in Source 5. Be'af al gav de amrinam besof perakama de brachot shabat lum mipnei tar omet haminim upiresh rashi shalo yomru la'amei ha'aretz ein shar Torah amet betedu she'ein korin ela ma she'amar hakadosh baruch hu b'shamu mipiv b'sinai. So the Beis Yosef says that even though in Brachos it says that they were mevatel this practice because of Taromes Haminim, and Rashi explains that what is Taromes Haminim, that we'll have these people that are anti-Judaism saying, oh, well, we're going out of our way to say the Aseres HaDibros, that's on another level, and the rest of the Torah, that's not real. And then they're saying that, oh, because God set out the Ten Dibros, and this was a whole extravaganza of an event, oh, the rest of the Torah, that's not real. It's just the Ten Commandments. So, Ika Lemimar, Dehainu, Dafka B'tzibor. So, the Beis Yosef is saying, our Isser, to say the Aseres HaDibros because it can lead to people thinking that the rest of the Torah isn't true. That's just when it's in Sibor, when you're in Sibor. Aval biyachid deleika mishem taromes haminim tov l'omram she'al yedei kein yazkir ma'amad har Sinai b'chol yom v'tischazek amunaso bazeh. Because if you're saying the Aseres HaDibros to yourself, you're not going to have other people gleaning things from it and calling out the rest of the Torah and saying the rest of the Torah isn't real. It's just going to help strengthen our emunah, which is super nice and great. So all for it, all for doing it on our own. So we have this middle position of the Beis Yosef, who's deciphering between biyachid and bitzibor. Now, we have the Drisha. The Drisha, whose name is Rav Yehoshua Falk. He was a Talmud of the Ramah, and he is on the page of the Torah. And the Drisha is written by Rav Yehoshua Falk. So is the Prisha. The Drisha is just a more expanded version. He quotes the Maharshal, which I couldn't find, but he was quoted in the Drisha. So Umori Chidushe Maharshal, so his teacher, the Maharshal, Tiritz Kushyat Beis Yosef, Shelo Manu Milomar Aseres Hadibros, Ela Kemo Shenahagu Lekavo Bebrachos, Kemo Kriya Shema, Bekemo Shekatavti Lashon Mishnah Detamid, Aval Belo Bracha Leislanba. So he is disagreeing with the Beis Yosef's distinction between Yachin and Tzibor. He limits the Trumat Haminim to the most narrow interpretation. What do I mean? Leislam ba'vidok ad kan l'shono. That the only part of Kriya Shema, the only part that's wrong is that they're saying it as part of Kriya Shema, or part of a bracha. And then he goes on to say, V'chin hinhig hu l'omran berabim bevis ha'kneset shal bachurim shahaya mispalal imahem, that it was actually a minhag to say it as part of, to say the Aseres HaDibros in the shul with all the bachurim. V'hashalich tzibur amran kodem baruch sha'amar b'koram. And actually, it was the practice there before they started Baruch She'amar, before they started Pesukei Dezimra, for the whole minyan to say for the Shlich Tzibor, and then the whole minyan to join in for the Aseres HaDibros.
That's contradicting the Rashba.
it seems to be contradicting the Rashba, correct. So it's an inyan, so he's saying it's an inyan dafka of Kriya Shema, that the Isser is just to say it as part of Kriya Shema. But yeah, it should be said Berabin. We have a lot of contradicting things here. Now, which is always exciting. Now we have yes.
Don't we say that the Aseret HaDibrot are part of Kriyat Shema, like you can find parallels for each Dibra in the Kriyat Shema that we say?
Interesting.
Interesting. Whole article, but I mean, if you read like
that, you can find like the hidden parts of Amuna.
Any Sephardic seder, they will tell you this part, the Hafayet Hashem Elokecha, this is for Anokhi Hashem
Elokecha. Right.
And so on and so forth. There are parallels to the Aseret HaDibros in Kriyat Shema.
Okay, that makes sense.
I can send you an article if you want about that.
Yes, I would love to read that. And it does make sense, and you do read how people take the Aseret HaDibros and they try to infuse it and show that really the Aseret HaDibros are just kind of roshei tevot and ways to then see the whole rest of the Torah. I believe you, but I look forward to seeing it. Yeah. I feel like I know what you're saying. In the Idor HaMizrach Sidurim, there are like always words on top.
Above
right.
Exactly.
They have something. Right. I'm not sure if it's here, but
I'm not. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm in a Moroccan show, I see above the text. Those that would say not to put it in the area of Derechos Shema. I would assume they feel it's inconsistent, and therefore, because we say you have to have the Berachos Kriya Shema, and then Tefillah, going straight and not break it up and not have anything in there that
diverts
from that path. And I mean, there are a lot of
things. Malkula,
right,
Tefillah.
Exactly.
But I guess the argument is it's right there in the Gemara.
It is, and those who say.
Right, and there are those that would probably respond to you and say that it's not a divergence, that it's
right.
actually it's within the same theme,
right.
etc. But we're not even done with seeing what everyone has to say on this matter. Now we have the Shulchan Aruch, who is actually the same guy as the Beis Yosef, of Yosef Cairo. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Tov lomar perek ha'akeda, parshas ha'akeda, uparshas haman, ve'asaras hadibros, etc., etc. So there he says, okay, it's good to say the Aseret HaDibros. And then we have the Ramah who adds, v'dafka b'yachid mutar lomar Aseret HaDibros b'chol yom. Specifically, you can do it on your own. As a yachid, aval asur leomram b'tzibor, but you should not say them as part of a tzibor, and that is that's the Ramah, basically gleaning probably what the Beis Yosef expanded on in source 5.
But he's not saying where.
He's right.
He's saying it's a good thing. Like it might be a good thing to throw it into karbanos. It might be a good thing to do after the actual davening is finished.
Correct. And the Torah also didn't specify.
Right.
It was so far we really only have the Drisha who quotes the Maharshal and says, the Maharshal, my Rebbe, they would go with the Bachrim and have the Shlich Tibor say it before Baruch Sha'amar, which is fascinating. Now we have the Mishnah Brura in Source 8, who basically says the sheets of the Maharshal and the Drisha that you can say the Aseret HaDibros before Baruch Sha'amar, but then he rejects it. If we look the last sentence of Ana Naktinan La'asor B'tzibor Klal U'Klal U'B'Yachid, that we really, even though that is a minhag, we go by not allowing this at all. U'B'Yachid Dafka Shelo B'Tocha Tzvila, and even for a Yachid, the shouldn't do it in the middle of davening. Avalakvoa betocha brachos gam liyachid asur. Even in the middle of the brachos for yachid, it is asur. So he doesn't actually. The Mishnah Brura, he basically says, if you must, but I'm not so happy about it. And I would guess that the Mishnah Berurah probably didn't say that Sarah said Dibros, because he seems to be a little bit harsh about it. So now let's just sum up what all of these individuals have said. We had the Beis Yosef. So everyone agrees that you can't make it as part of Shema or as part of formal tefillah. You can't put the Aseret HaDibros there. We have the Beis Yosef, who says you can say it biyachid, quietly. Then we have the Drisha, who quotes the Maharshal and says you can say it out loud with a tzibor before Baruch Sha'amar. And then we have the Mishnah Berurah, who says only biyachid, but he's not so happy about it, as I just said. And like the Rashba, I think he's kind of like the Rashba, who says don't say it at all, that it's asur to say it. The Rashba, who is in source 2.
I think that that's just very strong language, as opposed to saying it needn't be said. He's saying it's usher to be said.
Right.
That might be saying, when you're saying this, you might be counter to what we normally should be davening to and about.
He's not just picking up that usur out of nowhere. We have the mipnei tar omes haminim. We have Rashi telling us that this is going to cause kfira, and this is going to cause people to take the whole rest of the Torah and throw it in the garbage, which chas v'shalom that should happen. So, we are now going to briefly head on to a different topic, and we're going to try to explain what this tar omes haminim is, because it's not so clear. So, I have already looked at Rashi in number 4, who said who told us that that what is it? It's what other people that other people, the minim, are going to try to throw out the whole rest of the Torah, because they're going to say, oh, this is on another level. And this seems just like the Rambam in source 9, who says umipnei ma ein korin otan. And because of what do we not? Why don't we read the Aseret HaDibrot? Mipnei tinat haminim shelo yihomrim elu levadam nitnu lemoshe besinai, so that the minim don't go over to us and say, "Oh, these 10 commandments that you guys are reading with your loud voices, or that you guys are singling out to make sure to read every day, those are the only words that Moshe really heard at Sinai. The rest is fake." We don't want that. So that's what the Rambam tells us. And that's kind of the reason that I've heard a little bit more often. But interestingly, the Ibn Ezra has an entirely different take on what this means. So let's read sources 9 and 10 together. Sources 10 and 11 together. Excuse me. In source 10, we have the famous pasuk in Ve'achanan that says "Vahayu," and this is surrounding the this is Kriyat Shema. "Vahayu hadivrei ma'ila asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavcha." And then the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk says "Vahayu hadivrei ma'ila." What does that mean? Amru hamachishin al aseret hadibros, that the accusers, the people who are trying to uproot Torah, they said about the Aseret HaDibros, "Va'aleihem ne'emar v'katavtem al mezuzot beisacha," that the machishim, these people who were against what the real Torah is, they took the Aseret HaDibros and said, "This is what we're supposed to write on the mezuzahs in your house." What? What does it really say on the mezuzahs in our house? Kriya Shema, exactly. That whole paragraph. But in fact, the Ibn Ezra knew what we wound up actually discovering. I didn't put it on the source sheet because I wanted to give it to you now. But here, you guys can pass it out. So on a little bit of a Google search, I was able to see what the Ibn Ezra saw. That if we look over here, this is really small, and later, oh, I'm so sorry, and I printed out bigger versions so I can show you guys later. Oh, I put it all the way back here. So over here we have tefillin from the Cairo Geniza, which has a lot of crazy things, but tefillin that they found in the Cairo Geniza, among the many objects discovered, were conically shaped tefillin, which is a whole nother discussion. And then tefillin overlaid with gold, and what else? Tefillin with the Decalogue included. Now, Decalogue also took a different Google search. Decalogue is referencing the Ten Commandments. That's what it's called. And so in these tefillin that they found, they had the Aseres Hadibros. This showed us that even in medieval times, these are probably the exact types of tefillin that the Ibn Ezra was referencing, that we have to make sure that they don't think, that we don't say the Aseres Hadibros out loud, so that they don't think that Bayu HaDevarim Ha'ila is referencing the Ten Commandments, and they don't make it wrong, and they don't do, and they don't, wrong, oh no, this is not what I was looking for. So then also in the Dead Sea Scrolls, I found this in a book by Gary N. Nopers called Jews and the Samaritans. Now we had the Samaritans. I don't have to give these out right now, but in that article that I copied for you, it explains that both in tefillin and in mezuzahs, they found that the Samaritans and other people would put the Ten Commandments in these Jewish artifacts. So that is what this Ta'aromat Haminim seems to be talking about, according to the Ibn Ezra, and it's so cool that we have like actual physical proof of it. Anyways. And I'm happy to send you the proof. And we can say that maybe this is why the Maharshal is okay even out loud and even Betzibor, as long as it's not connected directly to Kriyat Shema. Because Kriyat Shema is, and because when they're saying it right before Kriyat Shema, that's how they wind up saying, Vayuha Devarim Ha'ela. Oh, okay, so now let's put these Devarim that you were just reading out loud, these Ten Commandments, those are what we should be saying. So it makes sense to say, okay, so you can say it out loud, you can say it with the tzibur, just do it before Baruch Sha'amar, so that people don't glean from having it next to Vayu HaDevarim Ha'ila, that we should put it on our mezuzahs and in our tefillin. Now, every shul I've ever been to, and I confirmed this, I texted a bunch of my husband's friends today. I didn't text Shlomo because I didn't forget about him. He's unforgettable. But I texted David Freilich, who's a member of your shul, and I just wanted to confirm. Oh, hello. And I said, I just wanted to confirm, what do you guys do, what does your shul do when the Aseres Hadibros are read? And he told me you should double check with Natan Meinstock, but he's in Israel, so I couldn't. But I'm pretty sure they clap on the bima and they remind everyone to stand. And that has pretty much been the practice in every shul I go to. However, last year I had just gotten married, like a month before, and Shalom and I were in YU for Shabbos, and we went to Hashkama Minyan that morning. So it was just me and one other girl. Her name was Jenny. She was in seventh grade at the time. She's Rabbi Blas. No. She's Rabbi Raps from YU's daughter, and so she's really stark, and she's going places. Even though now she's in ninth grade, so she was in eighth grade, and she was sitting down, and it was Yisro, and they had made the reminder for everyone to stand up, and I kind of like motioned to her like, oh, it's time to stand up, and she like shook her head at me. She was like, no, I don't do that. And then later I had a discussion which we will unfold together later. But she knew basically about this next part of the shir that's coming up. And I copy-pasted David's response. He said, I think that they clap and say to rise, but I'm not sure. So that's what he said. So let us look at the Rambam. The Rambam is very harif about a practice that is done in every single shul. He says, B'kach haya ra'oi la'asos. This is what we're supposed to do. B'chol makom. Everywhere. B'min ha'shem min ha'gam la'amod. Tzarich leman'am. We have to disregard, we have to exclude these people. If their minhag is to stand during Aseres HaDibros, we have to get rid of them. Biglal ma shemagia bazeh min ha'hefseid ba'emuna. Because what comes from this? A loss of emuna. There's no belief in God because all these places are standing. Sheyesh b'torah madregot u'miktzata mu'uleh mi'miktzata. Because what does it do? It causes people to think that there's different levels of importance of areas of the Torah. Oh, because we're standing for the Aseres HaDibros, it's more important. B'zeh ra ad ma'od. And this is extremely bad. U'min hara'oy l'stom kol ha'ptachim. And we have to shut all these people up from doing all these things. And what this other chacham says in Baghdad, and the Rambam's also Sephardi, so these are like his friends, his cousins, I don't know. But all these cities that... Right, so it wasn't his...
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Right, so he heard what was being done in Baghdad, and he says, we have to be quiet. But it gets even better. I haven't even gotten to the best part. And so basically he's saying, if a lot of Jews say this, it's a minhag there to do it, so maybe there's some kind of redeeming quality in that minhag because if they're doing it in Baghdad and this chacham acher is doing it in Baghdad, but he says ein zeraya b'shum panim. This is not a proof at all. Lifi she'im nimtza anashim cholim lo nechli habri me anashim. Just because we see a bunch of sick. If someone has the flu, what are we supposed to do? We should also get the flu? No. Kadesha Yushavim, so that we can all be equal. Oh, look, they have the flu. Oh, we should get the flu. So, you know, they don't feel bad, so that we can all have the flu together. Elash and Nishadel, Lina Tayach Kol Choleshenu Chal. No, they're sick, so we should try to heal them. We should try to teach them that, you know, it's terrible to be standing during the Aseres HaDibros. That's what he's equating. Standing during the Aseres HaDibros, we should be trying to heal the sick people instead of trying to be sick alongside them. This is very, very harif. This is a very interesting that the Rambam is using such intense words to say that standing during the Aseres HaDibros are bad. Now we're starting to understand Jenny Rapp, why she was sitting maybe a little. Maybe she knows about this Rambam. Now, we have in source 13, we have the Shelos Uchuvos Yechav Adas of Rav Ovadia Yosef. And I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but it's really kedai, and I would recommend it. That he basically sources a very generic, general halachic principle of when in Rome, do as the Romans do. What's he saying? He's saying, Lo yiyah adam yoshev ben ha'omdim, velo omed ben ha'yoshvim. And he goes through all these different sources. That he says, if we're in a place where everyone in the shul is sitting during Kriyat Shema, during the Aseres HaDibros, you should sit. If you're in a place where everyone's standing, you should stand. You should do what the Romans do. Then he says a very interesting thing. He quotes the Chida, who he says to stand. And then he says that the Chida must have not seen the tshuva of the Rambam, because the Chida would have never gone against this Rambam. So I just thought that was very interesting, that it's impossible that the Chida would have said to stand if he would have seen the Rambam. And he basically says that if you're in a place where they're going to stand up, then you should stand up for the whole leaning, so you don't make a difference between that and everywhere else. And I think that's kind of what we do now, that we don't just stand from Anochi Hashem. They do the clap on the blima, and they remind everyone to stand up from the beginning of the Aliyah, at least. And then I do apologize, because I don't have it on the source sheet, but the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he tells us to follow the local practice. That, and he also says that it's not such a big deal to say all the issues that I brought up with over here. No one's putting, he doesn't reference the Ibn Ezra, but no one's putting the Ten Commandments in the mezuzahs anymore. And we also stand up for so many other things. We stand up for Az Yashir. What else do we stand up for? Anything? Is it just the Asaras HaDibros in Yisro, Bas Hanan, and the Az Yashir? I think that's it. Right, Chazak, Chazak. So he says you can. And he also says that there are basically no minim these days. We're not going to have this issue of Taromat HaMinim, because there are no minim anymore. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us. Now, the Rav has a beautiful piece in the Harare Kedem, which is where I got a lot of my information for this shiur. And then just to give credit where credit's due, around the time that I started exploring this topic was when... one of the new Rosh Yeshiva in Karen B'Yavna, and my father and both of my brothers went and are in KBY. So we're a big KBY family, and he came over to my house for a meal. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, really young, up and coming. His name is Rabbi Aaron Friedman. And he wrote a sefer on the Asaras HaDibros. The whole sefer is on it. So I also got a lot of very interesting information from there. And a lot of his information also comes from, he's been learning Bechavrusa with Rav Yaakov Meidan in Gush. He actually, when he came for a meal, he recognized my husband Shalom because he had spent so much time in the Gush Beit Midrash. So a lot of it also comes from Rav Meidan. But the Rav, in his beautiful piece in Harare Kedem, he notes that there's this universal minhag for folks to stand up when the Asaras HaDibros are being laned. But how could this be in light of the crystal clear Rambam to the contrary? Not just to the contrary, but comparing people who stand up during the Asaras HaDibros to sick people who are trying to become sick people with their sick friends. The Rambam really has issues with standing during Asaras HaDibros. And the Rav says as follows, and this is why I was excited that we were talking about leaning earlier tonight. He says that there are different sets of trup. There's Tam, and I just recently learned about all this. There's Tam Ha'elyon, and there's Tam Ha'tachton. Now, what's the difference between the two? The Tam Ha'elyon, that is the type of leaning for the Asaras HaDibros that we use today. It's broken up by Dibrot and not by Pesukim. So only at the end of that the only different Pasuk, that we only stop for a Sof Pasuk at the end of each Dibra. So for example, all of Shabbos, even though it's multiple Pesukim, it's read as if it's just one Pasuk. And then we have Tam HaTachtom, which is the format that's written in the Torah, but we know that a leaner always does Tam HaElyon when reading the Asaras HaDibros. So in general, and so let's try to figure out why that is. What's the difference between Tam HaElyon, Tam HaTachton, and why do we change it for the Asaras HaDibros? So in general, Kriyas HaTorah is a kiyum of Talmud Torah Barabim. When we come at every Shabbos, week in and week out, Mondays and Thursdays too, and we read the Torah, we are being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a halacha, and therefore stopping at the end of the pasuk is a halacha when we're doing Talmud Torah Barabbim. But, says the Rav, when we read the Asaras HaDibros on Shavuos, we're doing something else. We're not doing Talmud Torah Barabbim, as we do in regular leaning. Rather, we are doing Zecher Lema'amad Har Sinai. And perhaps a kiyum of the mitzvah, according to the Ramban, of Raki Shamer Lecha, Shamor Nafshecha, Me'od Pentishkach Ad HaDavarim Asher Ra'u Einecha, U'pen Yasurim Levavecha Kol Yemei Chayecha V'Hodata Levanecha U'Levnei Vanecha. Maybe that is what we're being mekayim when we're doing the when we're reading the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos. It's more of a us connecting the links of getting right back to Ma'amad Har Sinai, getting right back to that day where God gave us the Torah. So, just like we stood around Har Sinai when we're remembering Matan Torah and we're sitting in shul on Shavuos, we reenact that moment by standing up and gathering together, standing up as a group. And that's why when we read the Aseres HaDibros on Shavuos, we use Tam HaElyon, because that's how we heard it way back then. We heard it Dibra by Dibra in one long swoop. The Rambam, when he was railing against us for standing up during, that was probably just during a regular Shabbos for Shabbos Parashat Yisro or Ve'es Hanan, because that seemed to elevate it above the rest of the Torah. And so the Rav, in this piece in Ha'ari Kedem, he postulates that this minhag to stand, it used to be only for during Shavuos. And Tam HaElyon probably was only used on Shavuos. And it just happens to be that over time, because it was so cool the way that they did it on Shavuos, it seeped in to doing it also like that for Yisro and Ve'es Hanan. And, this is a very bold statement, but this is Rav Soloveitchik. And that's and the Tam HaElyon and Tam HaTachton, it was the same thing. That practice of both standing and using Tam HaElyon seeped into shuls through the generations, regardless of why they were reading the Aseres HaDibros. Now, really cool, the Rav this was not quoted, but I found this in source 14. If you look at the Be'er Hetev, it says Bishvuis. It says this straight up: Bishvuis korim b'tam ha'elyon sheyesh ba'asaras hadibros. On Shavuos we use tam ha'elyon to read the asaras hadibros. U'b'shabat parshat Yisro. Sorry, that's a typo. Korim b'tam ha'tachton. And for Parshat Yisro, we should use Tam HaTachton. Now, that is not the practice today. So let's look at 15. It basically quotes that. But then let's go V'yesh Nohagin. But then it has the second to last line towards the end. It says V'yesh Nohagin L'Kro B'Tzibor L'Olam B'Tam HaElyon, which is our practice today, that everyone uses Tam HaElyon now. Dehainu Af B'Parshat Yisro U'B'Parshat Ve'etz Hanan, both for Yisro and Ve'etz Hanan. Rak HaYachid HaKorei L'Atzmo Korei B'Sheni. Only the Yachid. I don't know what that's saying. Only the Yachid who reads it on his own should read it twice. Okay, we're going to skip that. Oh, so he should do it Tachton. Tam HaTachton. Oh, that's good. Thank you very much. So these sources support the Rav's theory about sitting and the Rav's and the Rav's trup and the trup to use. So now, to conclude, the Rav uses what I think is a very similar distinction. He discusses the difference between Talmud Torah versus Zechiras Ma'amad Har Sinai to explain what appears at first glance to be a stira between a Gemara and a Rambam. Let's look at sources 16 and 17. We have over here one of my favorite areas of Gemara, where they just have some of the nicest things. It says, Amar Rival, Kol Hamalamed at Ben Bino Torah, Ma'ale Alav Hakatuv Ki'ilu Kabla Mehar Sinai. Anyone who teaches their grandson, the son of their son Torah, it's as if they themselves received the Torah from Har Sinai. Shene'emar v'hodatem levanecha ulevnei vanecha. As it says, you should teach your sons and your sons' sons. B'samichle yom asher amadeta lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. And right next to that, it says the day that we stood before God at Har Sinai. So, in this Gemara, in Kiddushin, we see that the teaching of a grandfather to a grandchild, grandson Torah is it's the best. But then we have source 17, the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Kishim shechayav adam lelamed et beno." Kachu chayav lelamed et ben beno, shene emar vodatam levanecha ulevnei vanecha. Just like a man is obligated to teach his son, he's also obligated to teach his grandson. And it quotes the same pasuk. Velo beno uben beno bilvad ela mitzvah al kol chacham b'chacham Yisrael lelamed et kol hatamidin af al pi she'eino banav. Then it goes into not just your kids, but all the Jews. It's really good to teach all the Jews Torah. Shne'emar v'shinantan l'banecha mipi ha'shmua lamdu banecha elu tamidecha sha'tamidin kruyim banim. Okay, it's so beautiful that tamidim are like our sons when we're teaching in the class. Shne'emar v'etzu b'nei ha'nevi'im im kein lamanis tave al b'no v'al ben b'no. So if we know that it's such a mitzvah to teach everyone Torah, then what's the point? Obviously, if the mitzvah to teach everyone, there's a mitzvah to teach everyone Torah, kal v'chomer, there's a mitzvah to teach my son and my grandson Torah. So lahakdim b'no leven b'no, uven b'no leven chavero. So the answer here is that it's coming to put the son before the grandson, and the grandson before, you know, the random Shmo's son. So this Rambam seems to be saying at the end that, it's actually a better mitzvah to teach your son Torah than to teach your grandson Torah. How can the Rambam be saying it's better to teach the son Torah than the grandson if in the Gemara in Source 16 we said that teaching your grandson Torah gets you all the way back to Har Sinai? So, the Rav explains that the Gemara and Rambam are actually discussing two different things. The Rambam is talking about the regular din of Talmud Torah, bilimadetem et b'neichem, where a father's obligation to his own child is paramount and trumps everyone else, including grandchildren, v'shinantam levanecha. But the Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about something else. When the Rav He's talking about what the Rav calls limud emunat haTorah, that the Torah is true and that it came from Hashem at Har Sinai. And that's just like the pasuk that we have in the end of the Gemara in Source 16, Yom Asher Amadeta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Choriv, that when it comes to emunat haTorah, our direct connection to Ma'amad Har Sinai, A grandfather has a lot more to offer than a father because he's that much closer. He's a step closer to Har Sinai. We know this to be true. We know this to be true even if the halacha is that even if a father is a bigger Talmud Chacham than the grandfather, somehow, some way, a grandfather's ability, and we have that a lot in this generation, just because like Talmud Torah is so rampant now, and our Jewish day schools are everywhere. But that old, you know, the European, that like pure emunah, somehow, some way, the grandfather's ability to convey that connection to emunah is that much more profound. And that difference, I think, is the difference between what we have on Shavuos, where we're trying to get straight back to Har Sinai, versus our regular Kriyas HaTorah, which is the Limud HaTorah aspect of it. And I think, I know we're not in Parshas Yisro now, but we just started this new chapter of B'nai, we just started Sefer Shemos, this new chapter of B'nai Yisrael's journey, and I think everyone would agree that the pinnacle of this journey is Ma'amad Har Sinai and the receiving of the Torah. And this is just one of my most favorite topics to discuss. And I hope that everyone's emunah does become more profound through the learning of Torah.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.